I've said in my word that I am looking to and fro throughout this world, trying to find those on whose behalf I can demonstrate my strength. My desire truly is to do that. Some would say, but that's an Old Testament prophecy. It's not relevant today. But I would have you know there's more relevance in the Old Testament than what many of my children identify. I am still looking throughout this world to find those through whom I can demonstrate my strength, my glory, my power, my anointing, my love, my mercy, my grace, all that I am. If you will continue to press into me and not be focused on what you feel, you will see me demonstrate myself through you. Too many of my children get caught up on looking for some kind of feeling to identify that I'm working in them, to confirm that I am moving in their lives. But I say unto you, do not base my move in your life on what you feel. Base it on what I have promised to do in my word. For if I have promised it in my word, and you do your part, I will move. I will move in you. As you grow and mature in me, I will be able to demonstrate myself through you in greater and greater measure. I say this to you because of how far you have come in me. And I encourage you, don't stop. Do not stop, because you're getting closer and closer to seeing me move through you. And when I do move through you, do not always look for an emotional response on your part, a feeling that confirms I have moved through you. I want you to be at a place in me to where when I move through you, there will be times you don't feel anything. And it's because of the closeness of our fellowship. I will move through you. You will rejoice in me, and great things will be accomplished in this world, says the Lord. We are a couple of days away from an election. In this election, we will be electing a president and a vice president, along with many other positions, judges and so forth. I'm not concerned at all inside about the election. But what I've noticed is this. If I were to pay attention to a lot of the news reports, and I like to read the news on my phone when I'm out places. Some people like to, you know, peruse Facebook all day, but I like to read the news reports. And I can tell you this. If I were to go along, or if I were to open myself up to the news reports, I'd probably be all kinds of worried and scared and feared and who knows what. You can't do that. You know, you just can't. And I resist great, sincere irritation when I know that there are Christians who are doing that. Did you know? Have you read? Have you heard? Have you? It's like, I don't. No, I didn't. And no, I don't want to. So just, you know, don't bug me. I don't mean to be rude, but I just don't. See, I know as long as I keep my eyes on Jesus. Listen, if this country is taken over by an absolute tyrant, you do know we have Daniel as an example, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, we do have examples in Scripture. I mean, you do remember that Rome was in charge when Jesus came along. You do know that, right? Yeah. Well, you do. I know you do. Anyway, a lot of people have already been voting, you know, the early voting and so forth. And I will publicly state I am adamantly opposed to that. If I were in charge, I would eliminate it totally. And the people could fuss at me about it. Here's why. Too much can happen after you place an early vote. And once you've placed that early vote, too late. It's my understanding a lot of people have already been asking, can I change my vote? And these are people that voted for liberals. They're wanting to know, can I change my vote? Well, you can't. Too late now. You should have thought about that ahead of time. Early voting is a benefit for liberals. And I don't know if you've heard about it or read about it, but already there have been, it has been uncovered shenanigans going on with the voting. What was it? Some guy in Florida, he tried to register something like 50 or 70 dead people to vote. Yeah. Early voting, in my opinion, is one of the worst things that could exist in this country. You go, you stand in line, and you vote. It's a hassle, especially when there's a large voter turnout. I totally understand that. I totally agree with it, especially with the people that stand there at the voting machines for half an hour like they have no idea what they're doing. The instructions are right there. You know, just follow the instructions. We have a responsibility as Christians to do our part. Look, did I tell you to turn to Joshua 24? Well, then turn to Joshua 24. And, you know, Kathy and I'll admit it, we took advantage of the, what was it, mail-in ballot? Absentee ballot. I understand the absentee ballot, because some people, they're out of the country, jobs or different things. I get that. I totally understand that. But even so, I think that for absentee ballots, you should have to provide a good, legitimate reason why you are an absentee. Now, that's just me. And based on how I see it, Kathy and I should not have been allowed to vote absentee. So I'm serious. I only did it because she made me. This woman that you gave me, Lord. So anyway, Joshua 24, look in verse 4. Now here's what's happened. Joshua is getting ready to die. And Israel is getting ready to carry on without him. Joshua 24, verse 14. He says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord..." Now stop right there. Is that prophetic or what? You have people today professing Christ as Savior, and yet to them it's evil to serve the Lord. They wouldn't use those words, but their lifestyle demonstrates differently. And their voting demonstrates differently. "If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will serve the Lord. And the truth of the matter is, that cannot happen today the way homes are set up. Look, I'm not trying to stir up trouble here, but the husband's the head of the home, and the husband is the one who's supposed to say, "Bless God, you're not going to worship anything but Jesus Christ in this house. You're not going to do it." Listen, there's a lot of kids today grew up in church. If they'd lived back in Old Testament days, they'd have been dead a long time ago. They'd have been stoned. That's just the way it is. Well, look, verse 16, this is great. "And the people answered and said, 'God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God.'" Now, how many people today in every church out there will say, "We're going to serve the Lord"? I mean, you know they will, but you also know they won't. They say it, but they don't do it. Well, verse 19, Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God and he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Now, somebody might say, well, now, wait a minute. They had the law. Commit a sin? Offer a sacrifice. Well, keep reading. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. In other words, when he says God won't forgive you in verse 19, he's talking about if you turn away and serve other gods. He warned about that in the law. He said, you serve other gods, guess what? You're going to die. And all the people, look in this verse 21, the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. These people had no idea what they were saying. See, when you open your mouth and start talking like that, God holds you to it. Permanently. He says, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone, and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us, and it shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. You know what that's symbolic of? That stone, that's Jesus Christ. That stone is Jesus. He's a witness to the word that God has given to humanity, and he's a witness to what we speak. So now, you have these churches out there, and Christians, and they do this. We will serve the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We will serve the Lord. And then what happens is they turn right around and serve other gods and deny they're doing it. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And here in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1, and it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. In other words, these guys were not the kind of preachers you'd want to hang around. Well, all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel in Ramah, and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons, how'd you like that? The first thing out of their mouth, you're old. Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works that they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto me. Now stop right there. We're not going to take the time to go back and read, you know, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and so on. But God gave them a warning and said, you don't need a king. You don't, trust me and me alone. You do not need a king to be like these other nations. And what did the people say to Joshua? We will serve the Lord. In other words, we stand in agreement with what God has said in his word. Now look what's happening. They're turning away from him. And he says in verse 9, God says to Samuel, he says, now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. Now, what we're getting ready to read is what God told Samuel to tell the people. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and he will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest. and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king which ye have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "Nay, but we will have a king over us." I remember when they said, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord. We will have a king over us that we also may be like the world. And that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." Wait a minute. Didn't God talk about he would fight their battles? And Samuel heard all the words of the people and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken unto their voice and make them a king." And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, "Go ye every man unto his city." And this led to Saul being anointed as king. Now, what are you seeing in this? Now, I'm going to go verse by verse. I'm just going to summarize what you're seeing in here. You are seeing a massive tax increase on the people. You are seeing the government taking over the control of the people and making the people dependent on the government. That's what you're seeing in here. Right here. Now, we know what happened when Saul got appointed king. It looked good at first. Boy, it didn't last. Then we have David. Now, David is known as the greatest king in the history of Israel. However, with David, what did we have? We had a severe situation with Bathsheba, and her husband got murdered. And not only that, there was incredible turmoil within the family, rebellion, civil war. It went on. And then after David, what happened? Solomon. Well, we know what happened there. And then from Solomon, it got worse. The nation split. I mean, it was horrible. It goes all the way back to this right here. God warned them. But the people said, "No, we want to be like the world. We want to be slaves to a system." That's what they were saying here. Now, anybody who has ears to hear can hear exactly what I'm saying and what's happening in this country right now. And you have Christians who are rising up and declaring, "We want to be slaves to the system. We want our taxes increased. We want burdens of service laid upon our families and our children." It's no different. It's no different whatsoever. Now, they ended up, decades later, they ended up, well, centuries later, really, they ended up 70 years of captivity. And you know, it's just amazing how they continually denied that they did anything wrong. Oh, every now and then there'd be repentance, and you had the voices of God that would stand up and say, "Do you people have any clue what you're doing? You've turned from God." "We have not turned from God." "Yes, you have. He said this, you're doing the other." Same thing today in the body of Christ. Same thing. No difference whatsoever. Now, one of the signs of somebody who is really, well, they're not as knowledgeable as they think when it comes to who to vote for. I mean, a couple of things. You know, if you need to watch debates to know who to vote for, you're clueless. If you need signs in somebody's front yard to tell you who to vote for, you are clueless. Because if you aren't smart enough to find out what a person stands for and their policies, then you know what? You probably deserve to be in bondage. Because it doesn't take a whole lot of research to find out what does so-and-so believe. I mean, you go on the internet, you just type in, "Is Ralph Cramden a Democrat?" And click, you're going to find out. It doesn't take long. You know, "Is Susie Cusey a Republican?" Click. You can find out what people believe, what they stand for, on and on it goes. And just because they're Democrat or Republican, you can't go simply by that. You have to find out what they believe. And you can do that. It's not complicated. Now let me tell you some things that the liberals, and in particular the Democrats, have tried. It hasn't happened yet, but they've tried. Now what I'm getting ready to tell you, I know for an absolute fact is true. I've read the reports on this. And if you go online and start digging, you're going to find it as well. And this pertains to tax laws in the United States. I can't speak for other countries. This is only about the United States. One of the things that has been tried is to remove what is called the housing allowance from ministers. Now, I'm not going to get into all the stuff about what a housing allowance is, but very briefly, the general concept or basis for a housing allowance is this. The IRS says most all preachers really don't get paid that much. So what we're going to let them do is deduct a percentage of their income from being taxable and call it housing allowance. So therefore, if the church doesn't have a parsonage wherein they can live, then they get a discount on their income so that they can use that to live on. And that housing allowance is not taxable. Well, see, the housing allowance is not just for ministers. It's also something that applies to people in the military, like officers and so forth. All right. But the move was this. Remove the housing allowance. And the initial focus was just remove it. But then when they found out it was going to impact our military, they backed off. They said, okay, we need to rethink this. But they presented a writing to remove the housing allowance. You think they're going to stop that? But not only that, they have brought up the intent to remove a church's exemption from sales tax. Because right now, churches don't have to pay sales tax. And again, it's because the IRS recognizes churches aren't like major corporations that have products. You know what I'm saying? You know, we're not like Microsoft. We're not like Apple. We're not like HP, okay? Churches aren't like that. And so, to help the churches fulfill their stated purpose of existence, then you can sign up to where you, as a church, the church does not pay sales tax on items. Well, they wanted to remove that. They want to. They want to remove that. Along with that, church property, it can be identified, it's community by community, but churches are generally exempt from paying property tax. Once again, because churches generally don't have the kind of money to pay property taxes. And so the churches have been exempt from paying property taxes. Well, that is something that they want to take away. Furthermore, they also want to take away the ability to use your contributions to a church as a deduction on your taxes. They want to take that away. And they're only talking about doing this to religious institutions. It's not other nonprofits. They're focusing only on churches. And it doesn't matter, Protestant, Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, Catholic, Jewish, doesn't matter. All religious institutions, they're wanting to go after all these things that I've just identified for you. Have you seen that in the news? Have you heard that talked about? No, but that is behind the curtain. Most Christians have no idea what's really going on. And I'm telling you right now, if what I just talked about gets passed, you're going to see churches closing one right after the other. Because they don't have the money. Especially churches that are located in what you might call high property tax areas, like downtown churches. Here in Beaver Creek, property taxes are high. I'm telling you right now, it will be devastating. Now, some people say, well, you just have to trust the Lord. I get that. But not all churches understand how to trust the Lord. So, you know what? Work with me here. Now, I don't know that the liberals behind all of this have really understood the magnitude of what they would be attacking. every religious institution would rise up. All of them. And it could get nasty. I don't mean violent nasty, just the battles. But this is something that has been brought forth in Washington, D.C. by liberals. Now look over in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. See, you have Christians who are wanting to vote for liberals who, if they get the chance, would ultimately be able to close down churches by simply imposing some of these laws I just talked about. But Christians don't know about this. They're ignorant. A lot of Christians know. Now you know, because I told you. A lot of Christians don't understand these things. They want to argue, well, that's not true, they wouldn't do this. Really? Look what they've done already. It's okay to murder unborn babies. And partially born babies. That's okay. There was a time in this country where people would have said, there's no way they'll ever do that. Here it is. There was a time in this country when Christians said, or would have said, there's no way they'll ever let men marry men and women marry women. Okay, I've got news for you. Yeah, here it is. I mean, we could go on and on with this. And then you have Christians who are voting for people, not just president, but all the way down the line, they're voting for people who are going to take away their religious freedom, their religious liberty, tell them what they can and cannot do in church, and then continually increase the legality of things that God has said you cannot do. And Christians are giving their... In other words, I will vote for you. You will be my voice in Congress and vote on my behalf to do these things. In other words, I'm saying I would vote that way to do these things if I were the one who was elected. And you're going to have a lot of Christians who would say, well, now, no, I wouldn't do that. Kind of like back there with Joshua. Oh, no, we'll never turn away. Same thing. Same thing. James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If you vote for liberals, you are a friend of the world and you are an enemy of God. There's no other way around it. That is who you are. That is what you are. Now, if you take issue with that, that's okay. But, you know, I mean, you can do that. That's your choice. You show me in the Word of God where He approves of what the liberals are trying to do. I'm serious. Help me see in Scripture where He gives His approval. See, if you're truly serving God, you will never desire to have someone in leadership over you who takes a stand against God's Word. Never. You won't. If you're serving God. And you have a lot of Christians who say they're serving God, but they're not. They're flat out not. You need to understand, the line of demarcation is being drawn like never before. And there are some Christians out there, you're going to have to come to the place of accepting the fact you're going to have to separate yourself from friends and family. Permanently. Because how can two walk together except they be agreed? Let me tell you something, your blood relationship with family is weak compared to your spiritual relationship with Almighty God. And it's going to be a whole lot easier to say farewell, I can no longer fellowship with you family members, then it's going to be if you stand before God and He says, depart from me, for I never knew you. Choose you this day. What do you want? What do you want? If you're truly serving God, you're going to be in agreement with God concerning the warnings that He gave in Romans chapters 1 and 2, Galatians chapter 5 verses 19 through 21, Ephesians chapter 5 verses 1 through 11, and on and on. You will be in agreement with Him. And if you're in agreement with Him, you cannot be in agreement with the world standards, and the liberals. You can't. It's impossible. Absolutely, positively impossible. Now, some of you already voted. Maybe you have. Some of you, maybe you haven't. But I'm telling you right now, if you haven't voted, I'm not going to control your vote. I can't order you who to vote for, but I can sure tell you this. God knows who should and should not be elected at every level of election. And you better be praying and getting guidance from Him. What should I do? What should I do? And I firmly believe, just like when Joshua said, you know what? If you depart, He's going to be against you. I'm firmly convinced that there are Christians who are continually voting liberal, and they are separating themselves from God right now. And He's going to be against them. And you cannot be friends with the world. It's impossible. Now, we're going to begin our 30 minutes of prayer now, but the first part of that, we're going to read through these confessions for the nation and elections. We have to do our part. Even if we don't like the outcome of every level of election, we still have to do our part. Because if we don't do our part, how in the world can we stand before God? I mean, what answer can you give to Him? You know what I'm saying? So then, we're all going to read together. Father, I come before You on behalf of our nation. We, Your children, have sinned, committed iniquity, done wickedly, and have rebelled by departing from the fullness and standards of the truth of Your Word. We have not paid attention to those Who have raised up, who speak Your truth and call us to repentance. We have not held the pastors and other ministers of Your Word accountable for their sin and doctrinal error. We have fallen short of Your desires. I personally repent for my sin and failure in all these areas. I also ask You to forgive us, Your church, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hear this prayer and choose this place to Yourself for a house of sacrifice, as I offer to You my own life as a living sacrifice and my praise as the sacrifice of my lips. Choose this house and sanctify it as a holy dwelling place of Your presence. May Your name and Your heart dwell here forever. Father, as You have forgiven me all sin for Christ's sake, I choose to forgive every person their transgressions against me. Just as You loved me and gave Your Son to be the sacrifice for my sins, I recognize Jesus as the sacrifice for all sins committed against me. I love those who committed those sins in the same way that You love both them and me. I ask that You do not hold them accountable for any wrong they have done unto me. Father, please move in our land. Heal our nation. May the glory of Your presence be known. Lord, I present myself to You as one who is willing to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before You on behalf of our nation. I lift up our President, Vice President, Congress, Supreme Court, and all who are in leadership at all levels of government, from the national level to the local level. Please forgive our leaders for their sin and ungodly actions, laws, and positions that are opposed to Your Word. Touch their lives with Your presence. May they all know Jesus in a personal way as Savior and Lord. By faith, I call them born again and filled with Your Holy Spirit. I present to You my prayers, my confessions, and my praise and worship. Use it all in the way You want to bring about Your will. Release Your glory and anointing through me to bring about the changes You desire. Father, I lift up to You the coming elections. Please keep moving on the hearts and minds of the just and the unjust concerning those running for president and every other office for which we will vote, whether it be on a national, state, or local level. Draw our attention to those for whom we should vote. May we all see the truth about each candidate. Move in such a fashion that all ungodly and unholy plans and motives will be fully exposed and brought to light. I come against a spirit of confusion that would want to cause people to vote for the wrong person. I declare the spirit of confusion bound in Jesus' name. According to the power and authority given to me by God, in Jesus' name I speak to you, spirit of confusion, and I command that you silence your tongue. You will not have an impact on this nation and the body of Christ concerning these elections. Jesus, the government of Your kingdom rests upon You. Likewise, I say that the government of this nation rests on You. May the man the Father wants as our president be filled with the wisdom of God concerning every decision he makes, including those decisions pertaining to his presidential campaign. May he operate by kingdom knowledge. Holy Spirit, please release a continual flow of anointing upon this man that will help and guide him in the election process. May the Spirit of the Lord rest upon him. I come against every principality, power, ruler of darkness, and spiritual wickedness that would present a stronghold against this man and against Congress. I speak to you and command you to be cast out now in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against this man shall prosper, and I call condemned every tongue that would rise up against him in false judgment. Jesus has given to me the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Satan, you and all your devils are bound concerning this nation and the upcoming elections. None of your plans for stealing, killing, destroying, or interfering with the elections will succeed. I call the Father's will to be accomplished in the upcoming elections. Satan, just as Jesus saw you fall as lightning from heaven, I call you and all your devils fallen from all levels of authority, influence, and interference in the elections. The Father has given me the full revelation and understanding that Jesus has given me power over you, Satan, all your devils, and all your power. All of you spirits are subject unto me in Jesus' name. Nothing of yours shall by any means hurt the candidates in the elections. You are defeated. Jesus is highly exalted, and in him I am highly exalted. The name of Jesus is above every name. I have inherited the right to use the power and authority in Jesus' name. I bow my life to the Lordship of Jesus. I declare that Jesus is the Lord of every part of the elections. Satan, you and all your devils must bow in submission to the name that is above you, the name of Jesus. You cannot rise above the authority of Jesus, and you cannot rise above my authority in Jesus. In Jesus, I have dominion over you. I declare that the elections are under the name and lordship of Jesus. I call your works in all of these areas over. Satan, Jesus has completely and totally defeated you and all your principalities, powers, and devils. He made an open show of you and triumphed over you for all eternity. I thank and praise God that in the Lord Jesus Christ, He has given to me that same victory. I call you and everything about you and your devils completely, totally, and thoroughly defeated in the upcoming elections. Satan, you have lost. The victory of Christ is known in the elections. Father, move upon your church and lay intercession on all those who make themselves available to you for that kind of prayer. Move upon the pastors of your churches that they would call for times of prayer over these elections. I say in Jesus' name that the righteous are in authority and that our nation rejoices. Jesus, you are Lord over this ministry. You are Lord over this region. You are Lord over this state. You are Lord over this nation. You are Lord over these elections. May the glory of the Lord fill this country and may revival fires burn with unprecedented intensity. I speak to you, principalities assigned to our nation's capital and the elections. In the name of Jesus, you are cast down. Your rule is broken. Your mind is filled with confusion. You cannot think straight to carry out your plans. You speak against other devils, and your house is divided. It cannot stand. It has come to an end. You are thoroughly and utterly defeated. You cannot rise back up to your seat. You walk in blindness. Division has filled your camp. Our nation's capital and this election are totally and completely loosed from your hands. The seat of authority in this nation is occupied by righteousness. Again, I say, you principalities assigned to our nation's capital and the elections are cast down and defeated. O Lord God, you rule over all kingdoms in the world. In your hand there is power and might, and no one can withstand you. You are our God, and we dwell in you. You hear our cry and our prayers. We say that this nation is your land. We say it is a part of your kingdom. May this nation fear you and all its inhabitants stand in awe of you. We stand here covered in the shadow of your hand. Your words fill our mouth and we speak them forth to establish your will in our nation. Use your words that we speak to plant foundations of righteousness in our nation so that you would desire to call the people of this nation your people. Judge those who run for any office as to how they stand concerning your word and holiness. We do not fear them or their threats and promises to steal this nation from your kingdom and use it to further their plans for abortion, sexual perversions, abominations, suppression of the gospel, and all other unholy plans which conflict with your word. Father, this battle is not ours. It is yours. You are with us. O God, we praise you and we worship you, for your mercy endureth forever. We praise you for the beauty of your holiness. We praise you for our salvation. We exalt you and glorify you for the victory in these elections. Lord, make your words in our mouth fire, and may the plans of the enemy be as wood, consumed and devoured by that fire. Set ambushments against all those running for office and those in the media who support them, who are opposed to your word and holy standards. They are enemies of the cross. May the fear of God fill their hearts and minds. May confusion fill their camps as it did in the camps of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. May they turn against each other. May their words return to them as their own judgment. May their words be as weapons against themselves. May they devastate each other. May their campaigns, plans, and agendas collapse at their feet. May the foolishness in their hearts come forth from their mouths in a way that will cause even the media to turn against them. May their words against truth and holiness turn into the death of their political campaigns. May they eat the fruit of their words. May they be swallowed up by the foolishness that proceeds from their lips. May they be shamed in the eyes of your church and the lost. May the abundant riches of the spoils of their defeat be transferred into the kingdom of God. We call this nation a valley of Berakah, blessed of the Lord. We rejoice with great joy at the victory of the Lord. Father, as heirs of salvation, we ask that angels be dispatched to assist these things to be done. Angels, go to your assignments as the Father directs. Enforce the victories we have spoken this day and drive back the forces of evil. Satan, you are defeated in the United States and in all of the upcoming elections. Jesus is Lord over the United States and the upcoming elections. Just as the Father's will is always done in heaven, the Father's will is being done in the United States and in the upcoming elections. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory and honor to your name, Lord. Glory and honor to your name, Lord Jesus. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise you, praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Glory and honor to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We call these things done. Father, we praise you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, you can continue worshiping, praying, and I'll come back up in just a little bit, and we'll close out for the evening.